We're turning in our Bibles this morning to Matthew's Gospel and chapter 12, please. Matthew's Gospel and chapter 12. We're going to read verses 33 to 37 of Matthew chapter 12. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of a good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of an evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Amen, and God will bless his inspired word. Jesus, in this passage, as he always does, talks in logical facts, not ethereal dreams that don't fit reality. In verse 33, he teaches a logical, provable, self-evident, incorrigible fact that a tree is known by its fruit. Indeed, whatever fruit a tree produces and bears, that in actuality determines the type of a tree that it is in reality. And words about it make no difference. Because what's the evidence? The fruit. The fruit determines the type of tree. The produce of the tree determines the very nature of the tree. And if I come along to you and say, look, it's a plum tree, words, it's a plum tree, but the fruit on the branches is pears, then my words are wrong, because they do not fit reality or facts. So, this is what Jesus has done in verse 33. He's pointed to the fact that a tree is known by its fruit. And why has he done that? Why has he done that? Because he's going to apply that principle of truth that no one can deny. He states the fact, and what he's doing is laying down a principle, a rule, that we can apply to other things in life. What any living thing produces determines what it is in nature. If you take the seeds from a Buddleia Davidii bush and plant them, it will grow more plants of the same kind. And the same with a beech tree. If you take the beech nuts and you plant them, it'll produce a beech tree. You see, whatever the fruit a thing produces determines what it is. What it produces determines that. And the same with roses, and all produce the same variety and so on. So the principle is, what is produced determines the type and nature of the tree, or whatever we're talking about. Now Jesus applies this principle, this logical, irrefutable principle, to our words. The words we produce. See, last week's point was the fact a tree is known by its fruit. And this week's point, and there only is one point in the sermon, is this. Number one, the fact your heart is known by your words. It's the application of last week's principle. Your heart is known by your words. Verse 34 and 35. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of a good treasure of his heart, brings forth, produces good things. An evil man, out of an evil treasure, brings forth or produces evil things. An evil heart, says Jesus, produces evil things, evil words. A good heart produces good words. Because out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. Your words, like the fruit on a tree, show what type of a heart you have. That is the law, what the Lord is teaching, very plainly. What do the words mean? Well, out of it denotes from or by, and denotes an origin. Out of, what originates from. Out of the abundance of the heart, the word abundance means that which fills, that which the heart is full of. Out of the abundance of the heart, the Greek word means the heart, the pump that pumps the blood around your body, but it means also the seat of physical life or the soul, mind, emotions and will. The heart. The part of you that is you. Now, people might say, oh, the heart, it's only a pump, blah, 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 blah. Well, that's not exactly what's meant, just pump. Of course it's not. It's the bit inside you that makes you you. That's what it means when it says the heart. And there is something to do with the heart, because there are a number of incidents. You know, way now today we have heart transplants. There are quite a number of factual incidents where I could quote you about a man who had a heart transplant, okay? He wasn't a fit man, he had a heart transplant. And in the year following his heart transplant, or the 2 years following it, he did something he'd never done before. He started to get his bicycle out and started cycling. And believe it or not, in the 2 years following his heart transplant, he really took up cycling and became a very fit cyclist. And he'd never even been on a bicycle since he was a child. And then he found out after 2 years, he didn't know this, but he found out after 2 years that that heart had come from a cyclist who took part in cycle races. So there's something in there influencing. The heart is just more, you see, than just a pump, isn't it? But out of the abundance of the heart, that which is really you, Jesus says the mouth speaks. The mouth speaketh. And it's a present active indicative. The mouth is presently, actively, factually speaking. When you put all that together, Jesus says, out of what our heart is full of, It's from there originates our words. As many commentators may put it, these verses use different metaphors to make the same point. And the point is, what you say reveals what you are. And that's what Jesus says. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What is in your heart, what is in the real inner you, the real you, what your heart is full of, is what you talk about. Men and women, Jesus teaches that like the fruit on a tree factually proves the type of tree that it is, so our conversation factually reveals exactly what we are. The tongue is the window to your soul. And though we cannot see what one another are really like, we can hear and get a little sneak peek of what a person is really like by listening to their words. And isn't this, brethren, factually and logically true? Isn't it provable? Because the Lord speaks things that are provable. All you need to know that this is true is have a pair of ears and use them. The dominant topic of anyone's conversation reveals what fills their heart. The dominant topic. Now, I by nature have always been a shy person. My wife doesn't think I am anymore. She thinks I'm talkative. I don't think I'm talkative at all. I hardly say anything. I'd be quite happy to keep quiet. But anyway, I've listened to people's conversation for 48 years. And I've listened to it and analysed it. And do you know that generally speaking, people talk about only three things. Generally. It's very rare in any conversation that anyone talks about anything outside of these three things. The first thing that people talk about is what they have and are. This is probably number one. What they have and are. This is materialistic usually, quite wearisome. What they have, their stuff. Many today, you can hear it all the time, people talking about their clothes. Oh, and I got this, and the labels, and how much it cost, and that's why so many modern clothes, they actually, instead of having the labels inside, they have the labels outside, because they want to show off that it's a such and such item of clothing. People talk about their makeup and how expensive it is. People talk about their car and the brand of car it is and the speed it goes. And people talk about their stereo and how loud it is and how much it costs. And people talk about what they are and what they have. They talk about their house and how big and grand their house is. And, oh, we're getting a £10,000 bathroom. Ooh, how impressive. If you're stupid, that is. And people talk about their money. I remember when we grew up, there was a man, and every conversation was about money and how much money, and on and on and on. It went literally all the time. Some people talk about their work all the time. Some people talk about meetings and formal dead religion all the time. They've got meetingitis. People talk about what they have, don't they? And what they are. I'm a production operative. That's the modern term. You know what it means? I operate a machine in a factory. Oh, I'm a team leader, they call it now. I'm a shop floor supervisor. That just means foreman. I'm an electrical engineer. That just means a spark, an electrician. You have to have all these grand titles. What I am. Oh, yes. What I am. I'm very famous. I'm a celebrity. And on it goes. People talk about what they have and what they are. Their stuff and their position. You listen to conversation. Stuff and position. It all falls neatly into these two categories under stuff and position. Materialistic and proud. That's the two sins. Materialism and pride is on people's tongues. And if these things dominate their conversation, let me ask you, what's in their heart? What fills their heart? The second thing people talk about is what they do. This is usually grossly exaggerated and boring. Social exaggerations. People talk about what they do. Tales of verbal, intellectual superiority over other people. Not what people talk about. She said this, and I said that, and she didn't have an answer. She didn't know what to say. People talk about what they do.
I had 20 pints of beer last night. Ooh, I had 22 pints of beer.
Oh, wonderful. Boasts about how much they can drink. They talk about what they do and how they fight. And boasts about their immoral lifestyle is the dominant topic of many people's conversation, isn't it? I remember sitting in the, what are they called, those botanic gardens in Belfast, waiting on Rebecca. We were in college. She was in Queens doing getting a lecture, and I was sitting on the park bench. And these two young students, must have been about 18 or 20, one female was walking up the path, and the other young fellow was coming down the path, and they met near my bench where I was trying to memorize scripture or read something. I can't remember exactly. And he started talking. And this girl, who's no more than 19, was boasting. This was, I think it was a Monday or a Tuesday. And she was talking away. I couldn't help but hear that, you know, young people are, they don't talk normally. They talk very, very loud, don't they? Because they've got an inferiority complex. And they talk very loud, and you couldn't help but overhear that she spent the whole conversation boasting to this fellow of how she had been on the drug called speed since Friday night, and she hadn't slept a wink since Friday night, and how much she'd drunk and how high she was and how immoral she had been. And she was telling this in such a way that she actually thought that it was impressive. And maybe the young fellow was stupid enough to be impressed, but he certainly wouldn't be stupid enough to want to marry somebody like that, sure he wouldn't. Maybe use, but not marry. But anyone with any sense wasn't impressed. Because all she was doing was proving how foolish she is. And it was coming out her mouth, because out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. People talk about what they have and what they do. People talk about what they do. The social exaggerations are mostly grossly exaggerated or blatant lies. And it's not impressive at all. But if what I do is the dominant topic of my conversation every time I'm talking to someone, we have to ask the question, what fills my heart? But the God of self, humanism, the god of pride and self, the god of self-exaltation. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And the third thing people talk about is others. They do talk about other people. What other people have, what other people are, what other people say, and what other people do. And sometimes, believe it or not, the conversation is negative. Sometimes it's jealous. Because what other people have is not as good as mine. They didn't do as well as me. Or maybe it's other people's mistakes. To show how stupid and foolish other people are. And hence present themselves in a better light. And other people's accomplishments. If we're talking about that, so often the jealousy is oozing out of them. But what's in their heart? Jealousy, criticism, bitterness, and resentment. So you see, from listening to ordinary conversation according to Jesus Christ, you can get a sneak peek into what's in someone's heart, what they're really like inside, what makes them tick. Their mind, their emotions, and their will becomes visible on their lips. And if you do listen to other people's conversation, you will notice that most of the conversation falls into those three categories. What others have and are, what I have and am, what I do and others. That's it. That's the three things. On the constant level of our conversation, the dominant topic of our conversation reveals what's in our heart. And if those things that I have mentioned are the dominant topic of people's conversation, what is in their heart but materialism, pride, self-exaltation, the god of me, jealousy, criticism, bitterness, and resentment? Now let's not go too far. Jesus is not saying that we should never talk about anything other than spiritual things. That's a load of nonsense. Nonsense. It's the dominant topic of our conversation. It's the constant dominant topic of our conversation that reveals the contents of our heart. But it doesn't mean we never talk about anything else. We live in a real world where it's right and proper to talk about family, house, work, our plans, and so on. It's right and necessary. It's the dominant topic that we're talking about. Any application? Well, yes, there is. You see, what is in our heart? What is in the Christians of Northern Ireland, what is in their mind and their emotions and their will? What is the dominant topic of their conversation? See, there is a problem, isn't there? Last week, I was speaking to a woman, and she was saying, you know, there's lots of young people in our church, and they're quite happy to talk about church, many other things. But they never, never talk about Jesus Christ. Or salvation. Not only young people, then there's some older people, isn't there? You've all met them, and what do they talk about? The dominant talk of their conversation is meetings. Their life seems to consist of a series of meetings and how many you can get to. And the more and the longer, the better. They've got a disease called meetingitis. But what's in their heart? What is in their heart? You can do all those things, you see, and all that's in your heart is mere religion. Church. See, spirituality is not measured in meetings. A man told me once that his church had a 2-week mission, and he met one of his friends after it who belonged to the church, and he said, "How many meetings did you go to?" He says, "Well, I went to about 2 or 3 in a week." And the other one said, "I went to every meeting." And he thought that made him spiritual. I'm quite sure his children and his home life and his wife and his family were very happy with his selfishness. Yeah? Another people, it's a Northern Irish favourite to talk about the weather. Usually talk about the weather when you don't know the person, you've nothing else to talk about, but it's a Northern Irish favourite. If you're always talking about the weather, what's in your heart? The weather. You may think that's funny. I'm not joking. I'm not joking. I have literally known people, men and women, who are so caught up with the weather in their heart that it actually controls their emotions. And how sinful that is for a so-called Christian. And in the winter, or when it's raining, they get down and they feel depressive. But when the sun is shining and the sky's blue, now they're happy and they feel good. Their own mind doesn't control them. It doesn't even control their own feelings. The weather controls their feelings. And that's a very dangerous thing in Northern Ireland, because the weather changes every 5 minutes. And for other people, it's football. And that's the dominant topic of their conversation, or some kind of sport. You know, that's the chief complaint I've heard among trainee ministers in Bible college. When you go around visiting churches and preaching, and if you're preaching in the morning and the evening, you usually stay at one of the elders' houses for dinner that day. And the trainees say, I've known a few of them, you know, it's very hard to get any elder to speak about spiritual things. They usually spend Sunday afternoon talking about the football results. But what's in their heart? If that's the case, entertainment. And it's the same for any kind of entertainment, isn't it? If it's the dominant topic of one's conversation, it could be music, or movies, or DVDs, or computer games, or cycling, or whatever. But out of the abundance of the heart, out of what the heart is full of, the mouth speaks. Some people talk about their illness, you know, all the time. All the time. And the whole conversation's about their illness and what happened. And that's good. I'm not saying don't talk about illness. But I'm talking about the dominant topic. There are people that don't talk about anything else. And it always ends up as basically self-pity and lack of trust in God. And if any of these other things is all we talk about, how then is Jesus Christ in our heart? You see, you can have hedonism, you can have pleasure mania in your heart. You can have any of these things in your heart, but none of these things are Christ or God first. Church, sport, meetings, weather, illness. Some people love their illness. We know this from real life, don't we? What's filling your heart? You talk about the young couple are courting. They're maybe going to get engaged soon. And their friends who are with them, the boyfriend's with the fella and so on. And they're talking about the football and all. But always this fella that loves this girl, this conversation, he always manages to get her name in somewhere, doesn't he? It always comes back round to the person that he loves,
Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Or maybe it's a family moving house, and for a month or two, that's taken up your whole mind, and it's one of the most stressful times in your life, moving house. And you're consumed by it maybe for a week or two. And what do the people that are moving house talk about? What fills their heart? And it's all that. And it's the same with holidays and so on. But it all proves the truth of the principle that Jesus Christ is teaching, that what fills your heart is on your lips. Maybe our conversation as believers is not so good. Maybe it's too worldly. Maybe it's not spiritual enough. How can we change if that's the case? Well, not by trying to change. That'll not work. Not by making a New Year's resolution. Not by mere self-will, I'm going to try and speak about Christ more. That'll not work. You don't get a new tongue in that way. You see, how can I change the emphasis in my conversation? Well, what is Jesus' message in verse 34? O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What fills your heart? Your tongue speaks. So it's not a change of tongue that's needed, but a change of heart. And if Jesus saves and changes a man or a woman's heart, and they realize this and they love him, because every Christian loves Jesus, then guess who you'll talk about? Jesus and your salvation. If he fills your heart. You see, let me make some obvious plain statements. A reservoir contains what? It contains water. And do you know that every reservoir has an overflow for when it gets too full? And when the reservoir fills up, what comes out through the overflow? Fanta. Coca-Cola. No? Pepsi Max. No. Apple juice? No. Water comes out through the overflow. Doesn't it?
Pastor, why does water come out through the overflow?
Because that's what the reservoir is full of.
That's what a reservoir contains.
What is in the reservoir comes out through the overflow. And our lips, our speech, is the overflow of our heart. And what's really in there comes out through the overflow. And many people, Pharisees included, need a new heart. And then, after that, then yes, you do have to try, and you do make your wee resolution and make the effort to speak more about Jesus Christ. But it's only after you've got a new heart, because the psalmist says in Psalm 51, create in me a new heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. That tells us also in the Old Testament that God, with his people, will take away their hard, stony heart and give them a heart of flesh, a living heart. And if we are Christians, we will talk about our Saviour. Because how on earth could we say we love him if we never speak about him? It's impossible. Let me draw to a conclusion and apply. I've given you one point. The fact your heart is known by your words. The tongue is the overflow of the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And if we are Christians, we will speak of Him. Here's the challenge to myself as well as you and everyone listening. Are we letting other things usurp His place? We need to make sure, you see, brethren, that we don't let other things take first place in our lives. You see, if you love someone, you spend time with them, don't you? And in doing that, you keep feeding that love for them. It's the same as in a marriage, isn't it? Imagine if a husband and a wife are so busy bees that they don't have time for each other. What will happen? What will happen if they don't make time? I'll tell you what will happen. The obvious. Their love will get weaker and fade and die, and their marriage will not work. Ultimately. So it is with Christ in our hearts. Keep doing the basics. Make time to read your Bible and pray. That is so essential. I remember at the Banner of Truth conference one year, Al Martin came across and he did three lectures for us all the way across from America. And he was talking to about 300 or 400 pastors, and on the end of his message, three messages, he says, you know what you have to do based on Timothy, he says, you have to read your Bible and pray. and he says, he assumed all the pastors saying, do you mean to tell me you flew all the way across the Atlantic a few thousand miles to come here and tell us we need to read the Bible and pray? And he says, yes, that's exactly what you need to do. And that's so important. If you don't keep doing the basics, you see, other things will automatically take over your heart. And that will be seen in your speech. It's as dangerous as a husband and a wife having no time for one another. So with a Christian, we need to have time for Christ. So guard your heart above all that you guard. For if you don't, other things will take over. And if that happens, you and I will be held accountable and judged. Not by me. No, not by me. By the Lord, according to verses 36 and 37, which God willing will look at not next Sunday, but the one after. Thank you for your attention. Amen.